Welcome to Soul Food Sneakers Podcast. My name is Dustin, and today we're going to talk about Nike and Adidas and New Balance. And I think we'll start with Nike. Nike has recently announced their Cult Classics program. These are sneakers that Nike is bringing out of the vault that have achieved cult status amongst collectors and fans of the brand. These sneakers include everything from Dunks to Forces to, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. And they are going to be released throughout the year, 2024. And I'm assuming if things go well, they will continue releasing them into 2025 and beyond. They've already started this program. They just kind of released the press release for this Cult Classics thing, but they've already been dropping some of these releases since the beginning of the year. But some big releases, actually the biggest release so far that they've announced as far as sneakers are concerned, is definitely the Air Force One Linen, which is rumored to drop sometime this summer, which would make sense because it's a very summer-ish looking sneaker. The Air Force One Linen was originally dropped as a Japan-only exclusive back in, oh man, what was that? I don't know. I think the early 2000s or something like that. Kith brought it back. Kith actually retroed it and gave people outside of Japan a chance to cop it several years later. And now this is the first time it's being released by Nike without any outside collaborations. And I'm hoping, because this is one of my personal grails, this is a sneaker that I've always wanted, but I just am not going to spend over $1,000 for a pair of Air Forces. I'm really hoping that they make a lot of pairs of these, because this is one of my favorite colorways of the Air Force One. Nice tan upper with some pink hits and a bright white midsole. Just, it's a great sneaker and a great summer sneaker, and I'm really looking forward to it. Some other sneakers that the Cult Classics program is going to be releasing include the Ugly Duckling pack. This is a pack of three sneakers that came out several years ago of Nike Dunks. Not SB Dunks, just Dunks. And they include, one that just released actually today as of the recording of this podcast, April 25th, is the Veneer colorway. So this is one that's got brown and green and purple. Kind of looks like a Joker-ish makeup. They've also already released one of the other sneakers in this pack, which was the Plum colorway, which was also initially a Japan-exclusive colorway. That came out a couple of weeks ago. There was a third sneaker that was released as part of this pack that has not been announced yet, but it's I believe it's called the Pumpkin or Ceramic Orange, or I don't know. Anyways, it's a black and orange and green colorway. These colorways actually, interestingly, were released on Nike released them through Air Max Ones. So they came out on Air Max One models a couple of years ago. And now they're bringing them back in their original form in throughout the year. And it's exciting for people who are into those sneakers. I'm not particularly into those sneakers. They are called Ugly Duckling for a reason. They're kind of weird, clashing colorways that I don't know. I know some people will be excited about, but I'm good. I'm gonna sit that one out. They're also releasing some Air Max 180s, a couple of the more popular colorways of the Air Max 180. I'm not sure why those are considered cult classics. I had no idea that they were considered cult classics, but that's what they're doing. And another Air Force One, the Ivory Snake. They're also releasing an Air Max 90 of the Reverse Duck Camo, which is a very strange choice. So the original Air Max 90 Duck Camo, which was a collaboration between Nike and Atmos out of Japan, that's a cult classic. That's just a classic. That's a grail sneaker, like a huge grail sneaker. A few years later, Nike released the Air Max 90 reverse duck camo version of this, which was much, much less popular. The reverse duck camo is like a, it's got a lot of really bright neon peach, pink, oranges. I don't even know what color that is. I guess bright, like infrared color. And then camo on the, on some of the mud guards and then some black hits. I don't know. This sneaker, quite frankly, nobody really cares about it. It's just not, it's not that sought after. People are not out there looking for it. If you're on StockX, for example, or whatever, they're pretty cheap to come by. Versus the Atmos Duck camo, the original one, which is mostly black with some small hits of infrared rather than the other way around. That one still goes for a lot of money on online, on the secondary market, like $1,000 plus usually. So I'm not sure why they wouldn't bring that one back, but for some reason they're choosing the one that nobody really asked for or cared about to bring back into their Cult Classics program. But anyway, they just they've announced a few. They said that there's more coming. There's lots of Cult Classics on the way. They've already been doing this before they even called this the Cult Classics program. Nike has been doing this. They brought back the Dave's Quality Meats, which is a sneaker shop in New York City, which no longer exists, which is run by Dave Ortiz. They brought back that original collab without the Dave's Quality Meats involved, obviously, for the bacon, the Air Max 90 bacon. They brought back, basically brought back the Wu-Tang Dunks, which was, it's a Dunk High in yellow and black with Wu-Tang logos on the tongue and on the side of the heel. Well, they brought those back without the Wu-Tang branding, in a non-collaborative fashion. They called it, I believe, the University Maze colorway or the Iowa colorway. I think it, the colors are for the for a school in Iowa. Anyways, they brought those back, so you could essentially get your hands on a pair of Wu-Tang Dunks without the Wu-Tang logo for very little money. They've also been doing this with LeBron's line. Nike's been bringing back all of LeBron's kind of past sneakers and even a lot of his PEs that were initially only available to him, as well as hype releases like the LeBron 8 South Beach, which helped kind of create sneaker hype culture in a way, if you know your history. Anyway, Nike likes doing this, and I love it. I love when Nike brings back stuff that was initially available in very limited quantities and is now going for like $1,000 plus, or when they bring back stuff that, you know, nobody, PEs or things that nobody has had a chance to cop before. So obviously the standout sneaker in this collection, the one most people are going to be most excited about and trying to get, is the Air Force One Linen. But, you know, the Ugly Duckling people, they're, the Ugly Duckling pack has its fan base as well. And I don't know, there's lots to be excited about here. So it's a cool thing that Nike is doing. It's cool that they're giving it this label of the Cult Classics program. So that's Nike. Moving on to Adidas. So the first games of the NBA playoffs were on April 20th and 21st. And the star of that show, sneaker-wise, was definitely Adidas. Adidas have had a banger year in basketball. While Nike kicks seem to be met with, like, Nike basketball kicks seem to be met with kind of shrugs, no matter whose feet they are made for. And Puma and New Balance haven't really released anything worthy of a neck snap in years. Adidas came out of the tunnel swinging this season. And on night one of the postseason, Anthony Edwards, Dame Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, and James Harden all premiered special playoff colorways of their most recent kicks, and what has to be a color-coordinated offering of peaches, pinks, and purples. The star of the show continues to be Anthony Edwards' AE1, which has dropped in several colorways in stores and has been seen in several more colorways made especially for him, including a tie-dye makeup that he wore towards the end of the regular season that had everybody's radars up. His other iterations have all sold out as soon as they've gone on sale, and the sneaker itself is already getting Sneaker of the Year consideration from several sneaker media outlets. This level of hype around a performance basketball shoe is rarely seen, and the debut of an all-pink version he wore this week, which may or may not become available to the public, hopefully it will, was the talk of the NBA Kicks internet. But Ant did not fly alone. James Harden's latest signature model, the Harden Volume 8 shoe, which does not look dissimilar to Anthony Edwards's, also turned heads when it premiered on opening night in all over purple. I'm not and haven't been a fan of Harden's signature shoes for the entirety of his run with the three stripes, but from what I have gathered, fans of this line seem to think the Volume 8 ranks up there with the best of them, and his pop of purple was met with a lot of enthusiasm. As was Dame Lillard's Adidas Dame 9, which was also decked out in purple with the peachy accents. The Dame line at Adidas hasn't been super popular, but again, this is a colorway that had people talking and hoping for a wide release. Honestly, though, my favorite Adidas sneaker from that night was the Dawn Issue 6. Donovan Mitchell's sixth Adidas signature sneaker in as many years. In terms of making necks snap and eyes pop, these could be seen from anywhere in the arena with their gradients of purples, pinks, peaches, and blues, and some neon green laces to top it all off. To be sure, Anthony Edwards has the best Adidas basketball sneaker in the league right now, probably the best basketball sneaker in the league, period, but the Dawn 6 in that colorway won the prize for Mitchell for coolest feat overall that night. It's nice for Adidas that they are making these waves on the court, as their brand identity off the court has taken such a hit since the dissolution of the Yeezy line and their over-reliance on ancient runners and soccer kicks and the like, Samba, Gazelle, SL72 models, etc. Maybe some of that futuristic style and intriguing basketball tech will make its way back into their lifestyle releases for their sake. And in the meantime, these guys are all great ambassadors for these sneakers. By the way, every one of these players that I mentioned who debuted very cool Adidas sneakers in the first two nights of the playoffs, they all won their games. So I don't know if you're somewhat superstitious about stuff, but obviously having fresh kicks that everybody was looking at and excited about did not hurt in those games as far as winning and losing was concerned. Finally, I want to talk about New Balance, and I want to talk about the New Balance 1000. This is a sneaker model that New Balance is bringing back that they originally released in 1999. It's one of those, you know, we're in the midst of the Y2K sneaker boom, where, you know, mesh heavy runners from the early 2000s are now very much in vogue. Not for running, but for style. And this New Balance 1000 was definitely of that time and of that era. It really couldn't have come back before now. It couldn't have been retroed before now because people just weren't really interested in sneakers like that. This is a very unique looking sneaker, even in New Balance's catalog. It does have a bunch of mesh on it. It has a bunch of leather on it. It has a bunch of, you know, it has a really thick midsole, which New Balance loves to do. But it's, according to New Balance, the 1000's design is taken from, the design cues are taken from a mixture of luxury, of futurism, and streetwear. I don't really see that. I see a little bit of that luxury stuff in there, I guess. I don't know. To be completely frank, I think I said this on the last episode when I mentioned Joe Fresh Goods is dropping these sometime soon. These are kind of ugly to me. I don't really like them. I've not liked any of the colorways I've seen. New Balance has brought in two heavy hitters to help them introduce this sneaker. New Balance does this with every time that they release a new sneaker, whether it's a brand new silhouette or a silhouette that they're bringing out of their archives. They get a celebrity or a popular collaborative designer to help them introduce these sneakers to the public. Joe Fresh Goods is a go-to for them. He's helped them introduce lots of different sneakers, and including the 9060 and stuff like that. He's got a lot of sneakers with New Balance. So having New Balance tap him for a couple of New Balance 1000s makes complete sense. And to be sure, one of them's already dropped on their website and sold out quite quickly. There's another one that might be a friends and family one, or it might be coming later. I'm not sure. However, they've also tapped Dave. Dave is a very popular, very accomplished UK hip-hop artist. He's one of my favorite rappers. He's released very incredible albums, including Psychotherapy a few years ago. Dave is featured in the New Balance 1000 campaign as well. It looks like he's helping... The sneakers he's helping them introduce are not signature sneakers. They're not Dave sneakers. I think he's just part of the campaign to reintroduce this sneaker in general to the public. So I've seen him on ads for the New Balance 1000 for the GR colorway. I think it's mostly in silver. Anyway, typically when New Balance reintroduces or introduces either a new silhouette or a new old silhouette, they beat that silhouette into the ground for the next 12 months. They did this with the 2002 Rs. They did this with the 9060s. You know, when New Balance brings back a silhouette or introduces a new one, like I said, that's all you can bet that they have 150 colorways in the pipeline ready to drop on a regular basis. So if you're a New Balance fan, if you're a Y2K mesh runner type fan, or you're just a fan of these types of sneakers that look like this, then you're in luck, because I can guarantee, even though New Balance hasn't said as much, that we're going to see nothing but New Balance 1000s for the next, like I said, for the next 12 months. Not going to matter to me, because like I said, I don't like these sneakers, but it'll matter to whoever bought all these Joe Fresh Goods 1000s when they sold out right away, when they went on sale on New Balance's website. Another thing I want to touch on before we go is... some big news for more basketball sneaker related news, but just big news for sneakers in general, just because of what it might mean in the future. Caitlin Clark, the female college basketball phenom who went first overall in the WNBA draft, has reportedly signed a Nike deal worth $28 million. This is great on many different levels. Number one, Caitlin Clark is a hugely popular basketball player right now, male or female. She's just massively popular. And number two, WNBA players make nothing. They make no money. You know, my wife makes more than Caitlin Clark is going to make this year. I think from what I heard, she was making around $75,000 ish, which is, I mean, Victor Wembanyama, the other phenom that is coming to the basketball world this season, who played for the San Antonio Spurs. I think he's making, what is it, $3-4 million this year. So these women are paid nothing, because nobody watches the WNBA compared to other professional sports, and they don't sell as much merch, and they don't make as much from, you know, games. I think you can go see a WNBA game in the States for like $10. It's ridiculous for like, that's $10, not for bad seats. So anyways, it's great that she's going to be making a ton of money with Nike, and I'm sure there's other endorsements that are going to come along as well. But, interestingly, I think from what I heard, Adidas offered her more money overall. I think this is $28 million over 4 years. I think Adidas offered her more money, but for less years. I think they offered her a 2-year deal for like, I don't know, that would have, anyways, I'm not sure how that worked. I also know that Puma offered her nothing. They offered her basically $4 million a year, which was, that's obviously all they can afford to offer her, but she also was offered something, I don't think it came out what, from Steph Curry's Under Armour brand, and I'm sure every other sneaker brand in the world has had a meeting with her since in the last several months. But she's signing with Nike. Nike is the white whale. Nike is the big fish. Nike is the, you know, they are the biggest sneaker thing on earth, and they have been for many, many years and will be for many, many years. So when a huge talent like Wemby or Caitlin Clark comes along, you can bet your bottom dollar that Nike's going to swoop them up, and they got the money to offer them the best deal. That's the show. Just wanted to touch on some exciting sneaker-related news and tidbits over the last couple of weeks. Thanks for hanging out. Next week, we're going to come back and we're going to start a new series about streetwear. We're going to profile an icon of streetwear, either an icon or a brand, and or, and we're going to start appropriately enough with the godfather of streetwear, Nigo, who started a Bathing Ape back in the day, back in the early aughts, and has moved on to other things like Human Made and Billionaire Boys Club with Pharrell and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Anyways, Nigo touches every single aspect of what we call street culture, streetwear, whatever. And we're going to dedicate next episode entirely to him and his impact and history with sneakers, including the famous Bapestas, which have been embroiled in legal issues with Nike because they are essentially a, well, not essentially, they are a ripoff of the Air Force One. But we'll get into all that next time. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves. And if you like what you hear, please rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you.